All right, strap in, everyone. Today we're going deep on a case that just might change how you think about contracts becoming official. We're talking Evertight Roofing Corporation v. Green, a Louisiana case from 1955 that still has legal minds buzzing. Picture this. A roofing contract, trucks galore, loaded up and ready to go, and a question that'll twist your brain a bit. Can you actually be legally bound to a contract before you ever even say yes?
You know what's so interesting about this case is how it shines a light on that really fine line between simply getting ready for a job and, from a legal perspective, actually starting the work. The precedent it set, well, it's something we still feel in contract law today, and not just in Louisiana either.
So let's paint the scene for our listeners. We've got the Greens, who need a new roof, obviously, and then there's Evertight Roofing, all set and ready to tackle a job. They sign a contract on June 10th, 1953. Sounds straightforward enough, right?
Well, except for one tiny little detail tucked away in that contract language. See, it actually gave them two different ways to make that contract binding. Either Evertight sends over a formal written acceptance, or, and this is where things get spicy, they begin the work itself.
So two different paths to seal the deal. Interesting. But then things take a little turn. Turns out the sales rep, who signed with the Greens, well, they didn't actually have the authority to make that official written acceptance happen.
That's exactly right. And that one seemingly small detail shifts everything. All the focus of the case goes right to that second option, the commencement of the actual work. Now, the timeline here, it's important. So we've got the Green signing on June 10th. Evertight gets the contract. They do their due diligence credit check, the whole nine yards. Remember, the Greens were financing the roof. And about 8 or 9 days later, their crew rolls into Shreveport. Trucks are loaded, ready to get to work.
8, 9 days. That does seem like a bit of a wait. Did the Greens just hang out, wondering what was going on?
That's the thing. It's kind of odd, actually. They had Evertight's contact info right there on the contract. But get this, there's no record of them trying to cancel, asking about the delay. Nothing, not even a peep. They almost seem like they were just, well, waiting to see what would happen.
Maybe hoping a better offer might pop up, you think. Which brings us to, well, the law of the land where all this went down. Louisiana, they do things a bit differently, right?
Louisiana is unique, you're right. See, they've got the civil law system, which is a bit different from common law. They lean heavily on their written laws, the statutes. Articles 1800 to 1809, specifically of the Louisiana Civil Code, address, offer, and acceptance. Now, in a common law place, you might be able to make a good case that Evertight took too long, dragged their feet, and the Greens were free to walk away. But the Louisiana court, well, they didn't quite see it that way.
So how did the Louisiana court handle those 8 or 9 days, those days that seemed to stretch on forever?
They zeroed in on this idea of reasonable time for acceptance in a service contract, like this roofing deal. They looked at things like the credit approval process, all the logistics of getting the crew and the materials together. And in the end, the court decided that that time frame wasn't unreasonable at all.
Okay, so no dawdling on Evertight's part, but now we get to the tricky part, don't we? Was getting that credit approval and loading those trucks up, was that truly starting the work, or was it just, you know, getting ready?
Now, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's the very heart of this whole case. The court had to grapple with that distinction. Where's the line? When does just getting ready become, legally speaking, commencing performance? And how they decided, well, that's why this case is so important.
All right, lay it on us. What did they decide? Did all those shingles all piled up in those trucks, was that enough to make the contract official? It almost seems too simple.
You know, it might seem that way, but trust me, the thinking behind the court's decision goes way deeper than just a bunch of loaded up trucks. It goes back to a key legal principle we call the objective theory of contracts.
All right, break that down for our listeners. Objective theory of contracts. What is that exactly, and how does it fit into all of this?
Okay, so the objective theory is all about what a reasonable person would understand. It's about looking at the actions, the words of those involved, and figuring out what they intended. Not their secret hidden thoughts, but what their actions say. In this case, the court decided that, yeah, any reasonable person looking at the contract and what Evertight did would say the work was for sure underway.
So even with the Greens staying silent, when Evertight loaded up those trucks, they were basically sending a clear message. We're doing this thing. And the court said, yep, the Greens should have gotten that message loud and clear that the deal was on.
Precisely.
Right.
But hold on, there's another layer here that makes this whole thing even more interesting. It's this concept of reliance damages. You see, Evertight had already spent money, real money, getting ready for this job, the credit check, getting the crew ready, the whole shebang. They did all that because they were relying on the agreement, even without a big yes from the Greens.
So how did the court factor in those reliance damages? Did it affect Evertight's outcome?
It absolutely did. The court, they awarded Evertight $311.37 in damages. Now, that wasn't just the $85.37 they'd already spent, but also a cool 226 cents for the profit they would have made if they'd done the job. Basically, the court told the Greens, nope, can't string Evertight along, let them spend their hard-earned money, get everything in order, and then just back out scot-free.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, like, the court was trying to even things out, make sure these contracts really mean something. You can't just game the system, right?
That's exactly it. And there's a really solid reason behind the court's decision, a policy rationale, they call it. They wanted to stop what's often called offeror opportunism. It's this idea that someone like the Greens, they could just put an offer out there, see what happens, see how the other side reacts, and then just bail if something better comes along.
So bottom line, those trucks loaded up in Shreveport, ready to roll, that was a clincher, huh? Real tangible proof that Evertight wasn't just messing around, they were taking concrete steps, making good on that contract. That's what made it legally binding.
Exactly. And this brings up a question for our listeners, something to think about. How does this principle play out in our world today with so much business happening online in the digital space? Imagine, right? Things like sending a confirmation email or setting up server space for a cloud computing contract. Could those things, under the right circumstances, be considered performance, like those loaded trucks? Could they solidify an agreement?
You know, that's funny you say that. I was just thinking the same thing. This case, even though it's from way back when, it feels incredibly relevant to all the digital contracts we see today.
Absolutely. And that's why Evertight Roofing Corp. v. Green is still so important, a landmark case. It's in the legal textbooks. It's cited in courtrooms all the time. It's a cautionary tale for anyone dealing with contracts, drafting them, signing them. It reminds us that those little details, man, they can make all the difference.
Okay, so let's distill all this down. What are the big takeaways here, especially for those of us working in the legal field? What do we need to learn from all of this?
The biggest one, for sure, is the importance of clear, unambiguous language in your contracts. If you're writing one, you've got to define what commencement means. No room for interpretation. Spell it out. What actions mean the work has begun. Everyone needs to be on the same page from the start.
No more fuzzy language, no leaving things up in the air. Be crystal clear about what flips that switch, what makes it binding.
Got it. And on the other side, if you're the one signing, you've got to understand those terms, know them inside and out. What actions from the other side will lock you in, make it official? Because once those wheels start turning, whether it's trucks on the road or data flying through servers, you might not be able to back out.
That's good advice for anyone, not just lawyers.
Right.
Understanding your rights, your obligations. If you sign a contract, it can save you so much trouble down the line.
Absolutely. But for legal professionals, this case gives us some strategic insights, too. Think about the evidence Evertight used, credit reports, logs showing when the trucks left, everything documented, meticulous. That's how they proved they'd started the work, that they were relying on that agreement.
It's all about that paper trail, right?
Yeah.
Every step. Document it just in case things go sideways.
You got it. Every email, every invoice, every timestamp, all of it could be crucial evidence. And for lawyers advising clients, this case screams proactive communication. Client having second thoughts. Tell the other side ASAP and get it in writing before any work starts. Don't wait for those trucks to roll up to the house, so to speak.
Because once they do, well, you're in it, right? Now, you mentioned earlier that Louisiana law is a bit unique, different from common law. Can you unpack that a little for our listeners? Maybe some folks aren't familiar with those nuances, the different legal systems.
Of course. So Louisiana, their legal system, it's rooted in civil law, which is different from those common law systems. Civil law, it emphasizes those written statutes, those codes. While common law relies on precedent, those past court decisions, Louisiana courts, they look mainly to their civil code.
So basically, in this case, the Louisiana Civil Code was like their playbook, the rules the court used to make their decision.
Exactly. But what's really interesting is how they blended those written rules with practical considerations, reasonable time, due diligence, all of that, when they were looking at what Evertight did. They didn't just blindly follow the code. They thought about the real-world situation, how both sides acted.
It's like they were saying, here are the rules, but let's also use a bit of common sense here.
Yeah, that's what makes this case so fascinating to analyze. It's not just some dry, abstract legal stuff. It gets into the nitty-gritty of how contracts are formed. that balance between upholding agreements and making sure one side isn't getting taken advantage of.
And it brings up all these what-if scenarios, right? And it really gets you thinking, like, what if those Evertight workers hit some traffic, you know, some roadblock, and got to the Greens' house a couple days later than expected? Would that change the court's view on what's a reasonable time? Or what if Evertight, they hired someone else to do the roofing, subcontracted it out? Would that change the timing, the court's decision?
Those are great questions, and that's why we love digging into cases like this. They push us to think critically, to see how these seemingly simple legal ideas actually work in all these different real-world situations.
It has me thinking about modern contracts. Take software implementation, for example. You've got system design, data migration, all sorts of technical stuff happening in that preparation phase. Figuring out when getting ready turns into actually doing the work can get pretty messy.
That's such a sharp observation. It's almost like the digital world is wrestling with the same questions raised by those trucks in Shreveport all those years ago. We see similar issues in cloud computing contracts, e-commerce, all sorts of tech-driven deals. When does uploading code or setting up a virtual environment, when does that cross the line? When is it considered performance, legally speaking?
It's incredible, really, how a case from 1955, a simple roofing contract, can be so relevant to our digital world today.
It really is. And that's why Evertight Roofing Corp. v. Green is still such a landmark case. It's a lesson for anyone drafting or dealing with contracts, a reminder that those tiny details can have huge consequences.
So as our listeners are wrapping up their deep dive, what's the one thing you want them to take away? What should they remember from this case, especially those seasoned lawyers and law students out there?
I'd say this. Pay attention to the details. Whether you're writing the contract or signing it, you've got to know those terms, especially the ones about acceptance and performance. What actions trigger a legally binding agreement? Be proactive. Communicate your intentions clearly. Don't let those metaphorical trucks leave the lot without your knowledge and consent.
Words to live by, especially in today's fast-paced world where contracts are everywhere. So folks, next time you get a confirmation email, you click accept on those online terms and conditions, or you see a truck pulling up, loaded and ready, remember Evertight Roofing Corp. v. Green. Those everyday actions can have big legal consequences. Stay informed, be aware, and as always, if you're unsure about something, talk to a legal pro.
Well said. This case reminds us that even though the law is always changing, trying to keep up with our world, those core ideas, fairness, clarity, mutual understanding, they're still as important as ever.
And on that note, we're wrapping up our deep dive into Evertight Roofing Corp. v. Green. Hope you've enjoyed exploring the ins and outs of contract law with us today. Until next time, stay curious, keep learning, and remember, sometimes those seemingly tiny details can make all the difference in the world. You know, it really is striking how a case, just a roofing dispute in Louisiana, can spark such a broad conversation about how contract law is evolving.
Well, it shows you the weight a well-thought-out legal decision can have and how it can shape legal minds for decades after. Thinking about the changes in how business works these days, what from this case stands out to you as particularly relevant?
I think for me, what's really interesting is how much the court focused on that objective theory of contracts. The idea that it's not just about what people say they meant to do, but what a reasonable person looking at their actions would think they meant. And today, with all this instant communication, digital deals happening all the time where a lot is left unsaid, implied, that idea feels more crucial than ever.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Think about it. We click I agree all the time, barely glancing at pages of legal jargon, buying stuff with a tap on our phones, companies making big deals through a flurry of emails. Showing clear, objective proof that everyone agreed, well, it's vital in this kind of lightning-fast world.
It's like the digital version of those trucks pulling up in Shreveport, isn't it? Maybe not a whole fleet, but a server coming online in the cloud, a software license getting activated, or even just a chain of emails laying out the terms. Those actions, in the right situation, they could be the modern-day equivalent of commencing performance, couldn't they?
And that leads to a really important question for anyone who drafts and negotiates contracts today. How do we take those traditional ideas of offer, acceptance, performance, and make them work in the digital world? How do we make sure things are clear, protect our clients when agreements are often made through these little, seemingly insignificant digital actions?
It's almost like lawyers have to be digital detectives now, tracing the electronic breadcrumbs to figure out exactly when, how a binding agreement came about. Did that email go out before or after the software was installed? Was there a clear understanding before the online payment went through? It adds a whole new level of complexity to contract law.
It certainly does. And it shows how important it is to stay ahead of the curve, not just understanding the tech itself, but how the law is being applied to these new ways of doing business. The basic principles, they're still there, but how they're interpreted, how they're used, it's constantly changing.
So wrapping up this deep dive, what's the message for our listeners? Whether you're a seasoned lawyer or just starting out in law school, what should they take away from Evertight Roofing Corp v. Green? What makes it so relevant to the world we live in today?
The biggest takeaway I'd say is this: be mindful, pay attention. Be mindful of the words you use in those contracts, the actions that could be seen as acceptance or performance, what those digital communications and transactions really mean. The law is always catching up to our changing world, and those who keep learning, those who can adapt, they'll be the ones who can navigate the tricky waters of modern contract law.
Great advice. And for anyone who thinks contract law is boring, dry, well, cases like this one prove that's not true at all. It's a dynamic field full of these fascinating problems with real-world implications. So stay curious, keep learning, and remember, even a case about a roof from 1955 can teach us valuable lessons about the legal challenges we face today.
Exactly. The ideas behind contract law, they're timeless, but how we apply them is always changing. Understanding those ideas, using them in this ever-changing world of business and tech, that's how we ensure things are fair, clear, and ultimately how we keep our increasingly interconnected world running smoothly.
And with that, we're bringing our deep dive into Evertight Roofing Corp. v. Green to a close. We hope you enjoyed the journey, and we'll see you next time for another exciting exploration of the legal world.